Vocalist Jackie Kane made her musical mark with husband Roy Kral with their duo Jackie and Roy. Their recording sounded effortless, but insiders knew their bop-inflected arrangements were sophisticated, surprising, and anything but easy. Jackie is still a knockout at 70+, and although she lost her beloved Roy in 2002, she continues to tour on her own and talk to me about her upcoming tribute concert to Alec Wilder. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Jackie never thought of herself as a jazz singer when she first started performing.
I was just singing songs and getting experience and, you know, being with people, musicians, turning me on to different singers I'd never heard before, like Billie Holiday. Who's she? You know, and then being enlightened by so many musicians. And then all of a sudden, people started calling me a jazz singer, but I always thought of myself basically as an interpreter because I like to sing good songs and try to tell the story and make people understand it better or in a different way than they had thought before. So that's the way I thought of myself.
How do you define a jazz singer?
Well, I think a jazz singer has to have some improvisation in some way, but it doesn't necessarily have to be scatting. You know, I don't particularly care to scat. What Roy and I did was phonetic singing, which were things that Roy and I worked out by improvising first on the keyboard and then oh, that's good. Put that in. And we just built little things that we did together. And we sang them in, you know, harmony. And we sang them in just octaves apart because he was an octave lower than I. And we'd sing them, you know, the same key and everything. And it was just, it was fun to do. You know, we started doing it when we heard somebody else. I think it was Buddy Stewart and Davy Lambert with Gene Krupa. And this is back way in the 40s, you know, around the time I met Roy. And we heard some of that stuff and we said, hey, that sounds like it would be fun. Hey, Roy, write something like that. But write something original. Write something that you create. And that's how we started.
Do you da? 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 Do you da?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
I've got to ask you, you are so beautiful and obviously fit and spry and all these things, and I happen to know you're not 50. How do you do this? Because you're still performing, and I know personally how much this takes out of you. Mm-hmm. And we know if we're going to last, we have to live like athletes. That's how I look at it, except we don't have the budget to carry our masseuse with us, right, and all the posse that these big, highly paid athletes have. Mm-hmm. How have you done this and kept yourself in such great shape physically and vocally?
I think basically being with my husband, we had a great relationship. We were married for 53 years, and we worked and traveled a lot. And you said it, you said the very word, and what I tell people is you have to be like an athlete. You have to live cleanly. You can't smoke and drink a lot. I mean, you can drink wine and drink a little and maybe, you know, have a cigarette occasionally. But I quit smoking totally when I was about my 40s. Yeah. So that was one of the things. And just being interested in where you're going and getting a chance to see so much of the world, it's very invigorating and enlightening, you know, like, I still don't believe I've been to all these places I've been, you know? I mean, and it just happened, you know? We've been to Japan, we went to, so many countries in Europe, we went to Brazil several times, Australia, you know, and I was scared to go to these places. Oh, that's too far away. What happens there, you know? And then you come back, it's just like being anywhere, you know? But we did a lot of traveling, and I think that makes you realize you have to be fit, but it is, takes a lot out of you when you travel, you know, because just especially today, you know, it's worse today than it used to be.
Is it worse today?
Oh, I think so. Just the way, what you have to go through in the airport, you know, and then they don't give you any comfort much, you know, you don't even get food sometimes on some flights.
And if you do, it's only food-shaped objects.
Yeah.
It's not really food.
Right, right. Yeah, I just came back from doing a jazz cruise in the Caribbean. And I had to fly to New Orleans and get down to the ship. And we were on the Norwegian Sun. I was with a lot of other musicians. It was a wonderful cruise, and there were so many great musicians on it. What a thrill. And I was going to say no because I was kind of scared to go by myself, truthfully, you know, because Roy always took good care of me. And, you know, we'd have to scout out the room so we didn't have to run around looking for it at the last minute. And there were several venues on the ship, and there were so many great players. It was just a thrill, you know, world-class, all world-class players.
So talk about the first jazz people that you heard that made you interested in this, because you didn't, even though you didn't think of yourself as a jazz singer, you were obviously drawn to jazz early on.
What I remember is that when we would be driving in a car, if I was with friends or with Roy, whoever, going through the stations to find something to listen to, and you know there aren't many good stations when you get into the hinterlands, but if I heard a tenor saxophone or something play, and I'd say, oh, wait, what's that? And we'd go back to it, and I didn't really know what it was. It just caught my ear, and I loved it, and it was jazz.
Mm-hmm.
I expanded from there and started listening for piano players and whoever was playing jazz. And I was singing around Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I'm from, working with different bands, but they weren't really jazz bands. But then I met a lot of musicians who turned me on to some great singers. And have you ever heard, you know, Billie Holiday, Ella Fitzgerald, whoever it was? And I didn't hear them because we only had a radio at home. And I heard Jo Stafford, she was good, and Peggy Lee, and a few others, and that they caught my ear. But it wasn't until much later that I heard about a lot of other people through these musicians.
I'm gonna love you like nobody's loved you. Come rain or come shine. High as a mountain and deep as a river, come rain or come shine. I knew when you met me, it was just one of those things. Happy together, unhappy together, and won't that be fine? Days may be cloudy or sunny.
A 1952 recording of Jo Stafford on Come Rain or Come Shine. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired.
Happy together, I'm happy together.
My guest, vocalist Jackie Kane, studied instrumentalists as well as vocalists in the early years of her jazz development.
I was trying to learn things that I heard the instrumentalists play. If it wasn't too difficult, I was trying to train my ear and trying to pick, and I did pretty well with that. But then also, I did do it one time, basically. Well, you listen to everybody, and you kind of take a little of everybody with you, you know, good or bad. You learn something good or bad. But the one that made me really want to try to sound like her was Sarah Vaughan. And I was from Chicago, and Dave Garroway used to play her a lot and call her the Divine One. And I listened to her, and I loved her sound, and I knew she was a good musician because, you know, her intonation was great. I have naturally good intonation, too. I was born with the ears to, you know, have it, and she, too. And it was wonderful to hear her, so I started kind of trying to sing like that.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, how high the moon. There is no moon above when love is far away too. Till it comes true that you love me as I Somewhere there's music, it's where you are. Somewhere there's heaven, how near, how far. The darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, I'll steal my heart, how high the moon.
Maybe a year or two later, you know, slur notes and all these things that she did, and just sing a ballad with a good sound. But then I decided, now wait a minute, I don't want to sound like Sarah Vaughan. I'm glad that I've incorporated what she does that might help me, but I got to find my own sound. And so that's when I started to sing really sort of pure, just straight ahead, you know, because she had a certain way of doing things that I was trying to do that. It was kind of silly, but, you know, I was young. I was very young.
That's how we learn. How we learn. I love a straightforward approach of just singing the tune like you're talking about. It's one of the things I love about your singing and recordings. Because it's rarer than one would think to just sing the tune.
Yeah, especially today. And, you know, I try to find the meaning in the words, and where you can be improvisational, in a sense, is with the phrasing. And I've done some songs, but I always try to honor the composer on the first chorus and do it like sort of pretty much like it's written. And then, you know, maybe change it a little on the second, but I don't do anything real drastic. And if it's a song that's very, very well known and everybody knows it, like Embraceable You or something, then I take more liberties because I know people know the way it should be heard and they know what I'm doing to it by hearing the way I do it. And it's interesting to fool around with the phrasing, too, because sometimes it works very well because, you know, where the commas and the things, different punctuation should be, you have to counter that into your thinking about songs. You know, so that's kind of fun. And once I have it together, I don't try to improvise it every time, maybe a little thing here or there, but I get it to where I like it, and I sort of stay with it. Although, you know, you sing it with a different intensity every time, and, you know, coming from a different place in your head, so it does change in a sense, you know.
Different mood every night.
Yeah, true.
So that'll change. Yeah, I was going to ask you that, if you changed it once you found a place that you like. But having a place that you like within the tune and having an idea how you're going to do that approximately every night actually gives you more freedom.
Right.
To play with the emotion of it, because all of those other things are taken care of.
Yes. And why do you have to change something every time? If you have something that you think is really good and says what you want to say and the way you want to, you know, why not? Although you still change little things, mm-hmm. you know, but I mean, you don't do a major change on anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the way I do it anyway.
Treat me now. I'll be around when she's gone. Your latest love never last, and when it's past, I'll be around when she's gone. Goodbye. If you find a love like mine, just now and then, drop a line to say you're feeling fine, and when things go wrong. Perhaps you'll see you're meant for me.
It was fun working with Roy because, first of all, I don't read music. So Roy would teach me a song, and then I'd think about it. And I usually do my best work in bed. When I'm laying in bed and wake up in the morning, you know, and you're still sleepy, but you're not, and I start singing through songs in my mm-hmm. head, and especially when I'm first learning a song, you know, to figure out where do you want to phrase it and how do you want to phrase it. And so I just do that in the morning or when I'm in bed trying to go to sleep, but, you know, something's going on in my head, so I might as well stay with it.
Oh, that's great.
Sing through a song. Do I remember that song? Gee, I used to sing that 30 years ago, and I try it. Gosh, I remember all the lyrics. I can't believe it sometime. You know, I know so many songs, and of course, now I'm getting worried because at my age, I'm afraid I'm going to forget something because I have so many songs in my head.
But you don't seem to be doing that, and I would think it actually would keep your brain more active, the way they say to work crossword puzzles and things like that.
Right, right.
I always think singers and actors, anybody who's memorizing words or thinking about those kind of things, that
That's
actually
true.
Would keep your mind clear.
Well,
I would
I'm
think
hoping that.
Seems so far.
Well, good. Thank you.
Now, talk about Alec Wilder, who has been a huge influence on you, and I know that you're involved with a wonderful celebration that's coming up. Talk about how that came about and specifically your feelings about him, because I've been looking forward to talking to you because I didn't know him, but a number of people have talked about him to me and about knowing him, and everyone that knew him is so passionate about him.
Right.
So talk about that. Why is that?
Well, he was a very remarkable man, very intense. No baloney. You know, what he said, he meant. He didn't try to placate people. Is that the right word? I think. You know, he didn't try to tell people what they wanted to hear. And I remember the first time I met him, which was a very interesting experience, because we had a mutual friend by the name of Rogers Brackett. He was a very witty guy and a dear friend of Alex and a dear friend of Roy's and mine, because he came up to Chicago. He was moved to Chicago from New York by an advertising agency. So he was trying to discover something he could go and hear, and he discovered us. And so at one point when we, later on, you know, a couple years later possibly, he said, I want Alec to meet you and hear you. He hadn't heard us. So we said, great, well, whenever you want to arrange it. And actually Alec came up to this apartment that Rogers provided for us. It happened to be the apartment of Sarah Churchill on, you know, Central Park West or East, wherever it was. And he came in, we were introduced, and here's this tall, wonderful, you know, exuberant man, but intense, but you know, you're not quite sure what he's thinking. would you sing something for me? They had a spinet piano, and I'm looking at this piano, and it's got the Winston Churchill family on there, a picture of them, and a bird flying around the room, parakeet. And so he said, well, would you please sing something? And so we said, sure. So we went over to the piano, and he went over and sat down on a settee, like a two-seater, but he sat with his back to us. And I thought, well, that was kind of strange, you know, and I said, you know, I didn't really, but then, of course, later I realized that he just didn't want us to be watching his reaction. He didn't want to have to react. And he, you know, he just wanted to listen to the music without looking at anybody. And I thought, yeah, that's the way to do it, really. You know, that you can really concentrate better. So he was sitting with his back to us, and we started, I think we did Lover, because that was a thing where we both sang separate, and then we ended up singing together. And I just remember when we started it, and Alex said, oh, no, or something. That meant great. I mean, you know, you had to get his sounds and his words and his attitudes in line, you know. But that's the way he would react when something moved him. He would say, oh, no.
Oh, that's funny.
It was funny. Yeah, but anyway, we caught on pretty quick. And then we did a few songs for him, and he really was delighted, and he really liked us, and we were so, you know, relieved that he enjoyed us. And then after that, one time he wanted us to sing at the Blue Angel, because we had been with Charlie Ventura's orchestra for only a year. But in that year's time, we made Best Small Band of the Year in both Metronome and Downbeat, because Roy was writing the arrangements. And they were really good, and they were different, you know. And with us singing, nobody had sung like we did together. And so that was a good thing. And so then when, I don't know, the club scene and the traveling scene was getting kind of bad, and so we decided we had to expand our repertoire and try to do something where we'd be a little bit more flexible. And so Alex said, well, listen, I'm going to take you over to the Blue Angel. You should work there. That's a room you should work in. And, you know, Max Gordon was one of the owners, and Herb Jacoby, who they called the East Side General de Gaulle. He was real French, you know. And so we went over, and we had to do an audition for him. And, you know, I hate auditions.
Everyone hates auditions.
They're no fun.
No.
So we went over and we did the audition and we got the job. And so we ended up working there for a while and opposite a lot of great people. Bart Howard worked there, Orson Bean and several comedians. And Bobby Short was working in the bar playing piano and singing. And it was a great atmosphere, you know. And that was fun. We worked there. I don't remember how long. It seemed like it had to be at least a couple of months because the show changed, you know. We were still there. So that's, and that was when we started to work around New York more on our own.
When you do what you do, when you hold me, and my heart does a flippity-flop, I'm gone, keep on, don't stop. With the charms of your arms to enfold me, tell me how can my temperature drop? I'm gone, keep on, don't stop. This is love, this is it. Love's a pain, I'll admit, but I don't mind a bit with you. So repeat every sweet thing you told me, 'cause it's sending me right to the top. I'm gone, keep on, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop.
My guest, Jackie Kane, with her late husband, Roy Krall, on the Alec Wilder tune, Don't Stop. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. For a discography of the music played on our show and a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can email us at info@jazzinspired.com. To find out more about my music and what I'm doing, and to sign up for our email newsletter, visit judycarmichael.com. My guest is vocalist Jackie Kane.
I'm very excited about it because we've been doing this for quite a few years. I don't know, maybe 20, 20, I'm not even sure how many. But it started out at St. Peter's Church where we would get together with anybody who was able to come and do the music of Alec Wilder and try to delve into some of the music that hadn't really been recorded or heard, you know, some of the chamber music type things and his popular songs and the octets and different things. So this year, it's going to be wonderful because it's going to be at Merkin Hall, which is a very nice hall. And, you know, the reason so many people show up for Alec is because he used to be composer in residence at different colleges. And in fact, he was even in Wisconsin when I was up there and pregnant and having a baby and was home. And so he came and saw us a lot. But it seemed we were always thrown together with him. But, you know, people who had a spot for, in a place where they played one of his things. Because if he thought somebody was a gifted musician, then he would definitely write something special for him in these, you know, composer things. And he wrote things for beautiful players, and they come and perform his works. And you wouldn't hear them otherwise. And of course, you know, there were some things that were recorded, like Frank Sinatra conducted something of his the octets, and other people have done the octets, but not often. And they date back to the late 30s, so they're pretty wonderful. When you hear the combination of sort of a classical approach with a jazz feel, and they use a harpsichord, and so this is going to be one of the things that will happen on this program. But there are a lot of other artists, and I've been asked to do some songs. In fact, the lyricist that wrote with Alec, Bill Engvik, he is still writing, and he's amazing. I mean, you know, he's an elderly man, beautiful person, and he just got inspired and, you know, wants to write more because Alec is gone and he wants to bring these things to life. But a lot of the music was from a film score, which was done by Jerome Hill, called Open the Doors and See All the People. And so, you know, a lot of people have done that music. It was originally just instrumental music as part of the soundtrack. And when Bill Engvik heard these things, he was so inspired that he started writing. He hadn't been writing in 7 years because, you know, there was nothing happening in the music business for good music, no place for people to hear it and bring it forward, you know. So he started writing things, and to this day, now he's written lyrics for one of the octets, and so he wants me to sing it. So I don't know how that's going to work out. It should be interesting, because they'll probably play it, and then I'll probably just sing it with piano or something, piano and bass, or, you know, just to sing the lyric and sing the same melody. But that's fun. And then I have a spot in the show where I'll be singing several songs of his, and some of the wonderful ones that have been quite famous and quite popular, like I'll Be Around and It's So Peaceful in the Country and While We're Young, which is just a classic. That, I mean, that song will last forever because it applies to any generation, I feel.
Must fulfill this golden time when hearts awake so shyly, softly, songs were made to sing. While we're young, every day is spring. While we're young, none can refuse. Time flies so fast.
My guest, Jackie Kane, on the Alec Wilder composition, While We're Young. Jackie is part of an upcoming tribute to Wilder in New York City.
And then there's another singer who's more of a classically trained singer, is going to do some of the art songs. And there's different instrumentalists like Gene Bertoncini, the fabulous. Oh, I love him too. Isn't he great? He plays that acoustic guitar is so wonderful. And I would really love to sing with him sometime, you know, because I'd like to try that.
It would be wonderful. Yeah. I love that combination of voice and guitar, especially somebody who's such an orchestra like Gene.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yes, he is fun. And he's a friend of ours. He's been on some of our albums. I think, well, he's been on one that I remember, but it might be more. But he's going to be there too. And I don't know the whole cast. I mean, I don't know who's all going to be there, but I can be sure that some people will be coming from other cities around the country, because this is a big year. It's the centennial. If Alec was alive, he'd be 100 years old. If only he was alive.
Yeah.
But he was a witty, funny, interesting man. He was always well-read, and he wrote great music. He always, had stuffed in his pockets. He always had a tweed jacket and charcoal trousers, and it was like a uniform. That's all he ever bought. That's all. And he lived out of two suitcases. I mean, he didn't have a real home because he liked to be free, and he liked to travel, and he liked to go wherever he wanted to go.
So he literally lived out of a suitcase.
Because I've read
that before, and I always wondered if that was literally true, because you and I live out of a suitcase, but we also have homes.
Right.
But did he just live in hotels?
Yeah, he had certain hotels. He stayed at the Algonquin. That was like his home in New York. And, you know, he knew the cat and he knew everybody, you know. And they all knew him. And, you know, people came to meet him and speak and stay with him and talk with him.
For people who haven't been to the Algonquin, there is a cat. I will say, I know who you're talking about.
I knew
there's a cat that greets everybody at the door.
Yes.
And it's very classy.
Mm-hmm.
And very cool.
Yeah.
And doesn't, you reach out. And to pat him, is it a he or she?
I don't know. Well, this might be another cat.
But there's always an Algonquin cat.
Right.
But sort of looks at you like, I'm working now.
Yeah.
Because I was there a few weeks ago, and the cat, and cats and I get on great, but the cat did not just automatically come over to me. It was, look, I'm working.
Yeah.
And I'm greeting everybody here. I can't take
time to
be back. It was very funny.
And then the other place he stayed was in Rochester. That's where he's from. And there was a hotel, I don't remember the name of it, but we stayed there once, and it's just a, you know, little hotel downtown, and that's where he's comfortable, so he goes back there, and he's probably got friends around the country, or he had friends around the country that would put him up, you know, and he'd visit, so forth, so that's great.
What makes him such an unusual musician? Because anything I've ever read about him talks about the fact that he was unusual.
Well, being that I don't really read music and I don't understand that, Roy could have given you a better answer. But what I think is that he just has a unique sound.
Mm.
When you hear his orchestrations, the way he voices his chords, the way he approaches it, the instruments that he puts together, you know, he does unusual things that you don't hear often. You just know it's Alec.
And it's a wide range of things. Like you were talking about the different things that you'll be performing.
Mm-hmm.
And most jazz evenings would not have that kind of variety.
No.
Especially one composer.
Exactly.
And you're featuring one composer with a wide range of musical styles and feels.
Right. So it's not all jazz, but it's jazz influenced, I mean, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The chamber music is more classical, but it's lovely, though. It's just what he does with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people, you know, these guys come every year to be part of it. And one of the fellows who's a trumpet player from Wisconsin and has been involved in it for a long time, he's doing a film about it. He's doing, you know, a nice film about Alec and talking to all his friends that are still alive.
So talk about his writing as well, his writing of prose.
Yes, yes. Well, I think that Whitney Balliot, who wrote this book called Alec Wilder and His Friends, is the perfect one to read, because he could say it better than I could say
okay.
it. But I'm going to read a little portion about one of the ventures that he tried. In the spring of 1972, Alec Wilder committed his finest ironic act. He published an invaluable and pioneering book, American Popular Song, The Great Innovators, 1900 to 1950, in which he examines with wit and grace some 800 of the 3,000 American songs submitted for copyright in the first half of the century, and in which the work of Alec Wilder is nowhere mentioned.
No.
But irony has long been a way of life for Wilder. He is a man of Johnsonian principles and persuasions who is extraordinarily timid and almost completely lacking of self-confidence. He lives a semi-nomadic existence, even though he is steadfastly responsible and loyal to his friends, and he has avoided the limelight so assiduously that he has become famous for it. He is in his late 60s, now this was written quite a while ago, and delicately constructed, but he had the vitality and curiosity and strength of a child. He detests violence, but full of martini courage, he could challenge a famous band leader to take off his glasses and step outside. Yeah. And he has repeatedly run away from opportunities to make sizable sums of money, not because he dislikes money per se, because he refuses to blow his own horn. And that's the way he was. He never hung around the Brill Building trying to sell himself. And that's why, you know, more people didn't hear about him earlier. And that's why his friends are so devoted to him and trying to get his name out there.
Mm.
And it's taken a long time, but it's really happening now. It's really mm-hmm. starting every year. It's gotten better. And more people are doing his songs. And he's definitely on the rise, which is wonderful. And I'm looking forward to this concert. It's going to be very interesting to see who's going to be here this year. So that's,
and it is a group that's called the Friends of Alec Wilder.
Right. And there's even a magazine or a pamphlet that comes out, I don't know how often, but called the Friends of Alec Wilder. And in that, every year, they publish whoever is doing his material. We've been in there a lot because we consistently have done his music and added things to it. And then we have that album on audiophile, which is wonderful because we did a whole bunch of things that were from that film, Open the Door and See All the People, which was, you know, instrumental originally. And then Bill Engvick wrote lyrics, and the lyrics are fabulous too. He's a wonderful lyricist. And it's a charming piece. It's just a great art film by Jerome Hill. And, you know, all the music, it was just background. It was just, you know, the soundtrack, but then all of a sudden all these songs have come out of that. And I'd like to see that movie again too. It wasn't real slick, but it was very charming and like wonderful, and he was in it, as a matter of fact.
He's got a great face.
Yeah
a real character face,
right?
So that's somebody you want to have in a movie, because you could look at that face
right
and see endless possibilities.
And there's another film out with Mabel Mercer singing the song, the theme of the show. I can't remember the name of this, but it's about the shell.
Mm.
Something beach, you know, mm-hmm, beach thing. Mm-hmm. And he's in that one too. But that's great that he got a chance to do those things, because he probably wouldn't if they weren't friends of his. If they asked him to do it, he would do it. You know,
he just sounds like such a wonderful person. Unusual in a business that by necessity is all about self-promotion.
Yes.
I mean, it's sad. I think a lot of us get sick of it.
Oh,
it
definitely.
And people think, oh, artists are so egotistical and narcissistic. But you have to be promoting yourself. There's a certain necessity for that.
Yes.
So somebody like Alec is rare indeed.
He really is. And everybody admires him for that. And he was fun. You know, he always took toys on the road with him, like funny things, like I have a picture of he and Marion McPartland blowing bubbles, standing, leaning against a building, blowing bubbles, because they were just doing it for fun. And, you know, he'd bring little toys that he would set up. Remember, there used to be a thing with a glass, a stemmed glass, and a bird that sat on the mm-hmm. edge, and it kept dipping in. Oh, he always had that in his room.
No. The thing that he lived out of a suitcase, and those are the things he took. He knew what was important.
Yeah.
Play
right.
and toys.
Yeah.
So talk about Echoes.
Well, that was kind of a surprise, because we had done an album called Concerts by the Sea in Redondo Beach a number of years ago. I think it was in the late 70s. And it was a wonderful club that had been designed for musicians to please them, that everything was right, you know, the sound system, the sight lines, the atmosphere. And so we did an album that came out, and then there were some tracks left that we hadn't used. So we suddenly got heard from this man who started a record company called Jazzed Media. And he decided to send us a CD and let us pick some of the things out that were left. And if they were good enough, you know, he would put them out on another CD. So this is the one that's just come out, and it's on Jazz Media. It's called Echoes, and it does have some Alec Wilder things in it and some other good things. That these were a lot of songs that people requested, like The Runaround, which was by Andre Previn, which he and his wife Dory wrote for us, and And Mountain Greenery was one of our probably most requested songs. That's on it. And of course, you know, we recorded those years ago, so you kind of drop them after a while because they get tired. So this is nice that there's something that people can get to hear them again.
A 1, 2, a mountain greenery. Ooh, what scenery. Where God paints the scenery, just two crazy people together, always together. While you love your lover, let blue skies be your coverlet. When it rains, we'll laugh at the weather.
And if you're good,
and if I'm good,
I'll search for wood,
you'll search for wood,
so you can cook,
so I can
cook. While I stand,
while you stand by just looking,
bees could get no keener reception in a beanery. Bless our mountain greenery home. In a mountain greenery, God paints the scenery. Yoo-hoo-hoo, what scenery? Just we two crazy people together. While you love your lover, let the sky be your cover. And when it rains, we'll laugh at the weather. Beans could get no keener reception in a beanery. Bless our mountain greenery. Ooh, what crazy greenery. Bless our mountain greenery.
Isn't it interesting to listen to things that you are tired of, but you hear it for the first time in ages?
Yeah.
You go, yeah, that's really nice.
I know. It's only, those are the two bad things, repetition and endurance, when you're a singer especially. Because, you know, luckily I had a good voice teacher in the beginning, and I have a good, honest way to, I know how to sing to save my voice, but sometimes you forget it too because you get carried away. But you know, you have a technique that you can last longer, you know, if you sing more correctly and not harm your voice.
Well, that's good to hear for singers to hear you say that too. How do you keep that voice going?
By not harming it, by doing wrong things. And, you know, I just had a good teacher in Chicago, and I only studied for a short while. But I got, you know, the message, and I practiced it, and I still do to this day. And, you know, singers, when your instrument is a part of your body, you know, you can't change your reed. So you've got to be, that's why singers are a little neurotic, I think, because, you know, you're always worried, you know, I wear turtlenecks all summer. You know, you just don't want to be in a draft, and you don't want to get sick and get a cold.
But you probably wind up being healthier because you take such good care of yourself, where everybody else just thinks, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's true. But like we said earlier, you have to think like an athlete. Take care of your instrument.
And because we've got a longer lifespan, too, with our career. Uh-huh. They've got to last for, 10, 15 years maybe?
Yeah,
an athlete, because they're old in quotes at a relatively young age.
That's true.
And we're hoping to last a long time.
Yeah. Well, my husband and I endured a very long time. It's kind of unheard of, especially being husband and wife and in the music business. But we were just very compatible. We were lucky. That's why I feel we were meant to do this. And, you know, I felt that from the very beginning, because our career just moved along without any real problems, not many anyway. Naturally, you always have some, but everything, one thing flowed into another, and it took work and time and whatever, but it worked out. So we felt very fortunate that we worked as long as we did.
Mm. Well, I feel very fortunate that you took the time for me today.
Well,
this is great.
You.
And I'm looking forward to the concert. I'm coming. I'm one of the people who's going to be in the audience.
Okay, Judy.
Rooting you all on.
That's wonderful.
I really enjoyed it.
I hope you'll
it.
Be happy. I hope you'll be pleased.
I will be.
I did have to put a few keys down. down a note or a third. But
what's a few keys between friends? Thank you so much, Jackie.
It was a pleasure talking with you, Judy.
You've been listening to vocalist Jackie Kane. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineer is Curtis Heidolf. The opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Hashem on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. For a schedule of upcoming programs, to sign up for our email newsletter, or to find out how you can personally support Jazz Inspired, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can email us at info@jazzinspired.com. To find out more about what I'm doing in my music, or to order music that you heard on our show today, visit judycarmichael.com. Special thanks to Tom Rickenbach, Stephen Linda Plotnicki, and our webmaster, Megan Lewis. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is made possible with generous support from our listeners and from Steinway & Sons and the American Hotel, Sag Harbor, New York. Visit online at theamericanhotel.com. Thanks, too, to Sag Harbor Florists. You can visit them at sagharborfloristandgifts.com.